Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing this program during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, this is a live broadcast, and Bob, Richard, and I would love to hear from you. You can speak with us live right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Otherwise, use that same number, and you can request and make your question available anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. 40 million Americans suffer from anxiety or some type of anxiety disorder. That's a huge number of people, isn't it?
Yes.
And we want to ask today, does the Word of God speak into that problem? Does the Word of God provide answers? Does the Word of God provide solutions? Does the Word of God provide some hope for us? And the answer to all of those questions is a resounding yes. And so we're going to start in the book of Philippians today. And this is a book about joy, about rejoicing in the Lord, regardless of the circumstances that you may find yourself in. And there's good reason to rejoice in the Lord. There's good reason to experience joy in the Lord because of all that He's accomplished for you through His death, burial, and resurrection. Your hope is secure. You have Christ alive living in you. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been declared righteous in the sight of God. All of those things added together give good reason to give thanks, to rejoice, to experience joy, regardless of what life throws your way. But life does throw things your way.
Yes.
We're human beings, and sometimes we're not thinking right. And when we're not thinking right, we experience anxiety. And what is anxiety? Well, it's excessive worry over an imminent event, something that's going to happen in the future that we're not sure of the outcome or the result. So we worry about it, and that worry gets to excess, and that leads to anxiety. And if we don't pay attention to that and change the way we're thinking, then that can become panic attacks. Yeah. And those things just seem like they creep up on us, and we don't know where they've come from. But it's from faulty thinking over a long period of time. So when we are feeling anxious, what we want is for that anxiety to calm down or to go away. What God wants for us is a renewed mind.
Yes.
And if He can renew our minds, and that's the process that we're all in as believers in Christ, we're offering ourselves as living sacrifices, we're not conforming to the ways of this world, but we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's what God wants for us, our minds to begin to think soberly about life, to look at life realistically, to judge things through the eyes of God, not through a human perspective. So we need to change from a worldly way of thinking to a godly way of thinking. That's why the Bible speaks so much about the mind. As a matter of fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that because of the grace of God, because God has sent His Spirit to live inside of us, we now have the mind of Christ. So I actually can think about life through His eyes, through His perspective, rather than my limited human perspective. So the goal, as far as God is concerned, is a renewed mind, a mind and a heart that is protected and guarded at all times. And that's what this passage is saying. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, there's some good words right there. You know, He's talking to all humans. Yeah. And the reason He's saying don't be anxious about anything is because we have that tendency to be anxious. We have that tendency to worry. We think about the things in our past that, kind of messed us up. And we take those things that happened to us in the past, we project out into the future. And boy, when we project out into the future, it's worst case scenario. I mean, that scene that we've created in our minds is awful. Well, our emotions don't know that, and so we start feeling anxious today. We get to that point where we have this feeling of helplessness, that we're totally have lost control, and we don't know what way to go. That's what anxiety is all about. Well, we all have that tendency, and so the Word of God says you don't need to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So you have somebody in this situation with you. His name is Jesus. He's come to live inside of you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So the burden of the future is not on your shoulders. He's already got it well under control. So all you need to worry about is trusting him today. He'll take care of your tomorrow. Just learn to trust him today. Well, how do you do that? Well, he's just given the way to do that through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. An attitude of thankfulness is a sure sign that you're trusting the Lord. Well, what's going to happen to that? Well, you're going to let your request be known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and that's what most of us want, is that peace of God. We want that disturbed mind to calm down. Well, again, God wants a renewed mind, so he gives us that peace, he quietens our hearts, and that peace, which surpasses all understanding, now becomes the guard for our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What does God want? He wants to protect that mind of yours. Mm-hmm. What happens when error gets into that mind? Well, it disturbs the mind, and it disturbs the personality. God wants to protect it at all costs. And if you will trust him, learn to trust him, and you do that by simply giving thanks, making your requests known to God, presenting those supplications to him, casting your cares upon him, you will experience the peace of God, and that peace will be the very thing that you need to protect and guard that mind of yours. That's what God wants for you, and here's the prescription for it right here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And again, friends, we'd love for you to be a part of the live broadcast right now. 844-322-2742 is the number. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Bob and Richard have recorded a wonderful message called The Breakout, and the purpose of this message is to encourage you to respond to the eternal truths of the new covenant, and through that you will experience thanksgiving, you will experience contentment, and the love of Jesus Christ. It's called The Breakout, as I said, and this month, with your gift to Basic Gospel to help us meet our fiscal year-end budgeted goal of $280,000, we're going to send you a copy. Just click the prominent link right at basicgospel.net. You'll see it right on the front page. Can't miss it. Basic Gospel. Or you can phone your gift anytime, 24 hours a day, to 844-322-2742. Either way, a great way to support this message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Livermore, California, and talk to our good friend William. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. My understanding is that when the land was settled, it was divided among the tribes of Israel, but that the tribe of Levi got no portion of that. Does that mean they were not allowed to own land?
Yes, basically, what that meant. There are some exceptions to that. We see Barnabas, for example, in the book of Acts. He was a landowner and was a Levite. So based on, you know, what some of the Old Testament scriptures say, that the Levites didn't have a portion of land. They had cities or little towns that were set up for them to live, where they could provide, you know, the worship for the people in that local area.
As well as justice.
Yeah, absolutely. So those things were set up for them. So they had, you know, that portion that was given to them. And certainly the tithes that were brought into the storehouses were for their use. That's how they were provided for. So they certainly had a place to live. They certainly, you know, could function normally as all the rest of the Israelites. But they weren't given a specific portion of the land that they could claim as their very own.
Okay, so each of the other tribes got an area of the land that was for that that tribe.
Yes.
But the Levites were dispersed among all of them to be the ministers, the government, if you will. But that didn't preclude them from owning personal property.
Apparently not.
Yes.
They tended not to. I mean, you never hear about them owning huge tracts of land, but they certainly had possessions and things. It's not like they were destitute or completely locked away. Maybe a semi-reasonable example of it today is the difference between a full-fledged state like Texas or California or Illinois and the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia is a special case. It was carved out of the states near it in order that the federal government could exist in its own location. And that's sort of what God did with the Levites and the cities of refuge, is he carved out that space from among the other tribes so that the government of Israel could be free and clear of tribal influence, as well as the Levites representing that their portion was God himself and rather than the land.
Leviticus 25:33 is a reference that talks about, if someone purchases a house from one of the Levites, it can be redeemed. And so they would own their homes and that sort of thing, but they weren't given a portion of the land.
Yeah.
Right. See, I wonder where the founders of this country got that idea to set apart Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to look into that.
Yeah, it sounds like they got it for the Bible like everything else.
Maybe so.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, thanks, William.
Well, thanks.
I sure appreciate your call.
Yeah.
Good question.
844-322-2742. We have plenty of time on the clock. If you're hearing this broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock hour Central Time, we want to hear from you. We are live at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Calgary and talk to Miles. Hi, Miles.
Hi, Bob. Hey, I learned something interesting, and that is that the word vicar is derived from the word vicarious. In other words, live vicariously to the Bible through a vicar. I was wondering, is there anything Jesus said that would tell us to go to a vicar, a priest, a bishop, a minister, a pastor for direction on the Bible, or is there actually other scripture that would say, to discern ourselves?
Well, Miles, I think the focus, the emphasis on the New Testament is the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living in us and that we have no need for a teacher. Certainly God has put pastors and teachers within the body. He has gifted the body with that particular gift to help us learn and grow in our relationship with Christ. But ultimately, whatever a teacher, a human teacher, brings to the table as far as what the Word of God says, then for us to truly learn it, then we have to take that and see if the Holy Spirit is going to teach us that, open up our hearts and minds to see that that indeed is true. So I can tell you that your sins have been forgiven once and for all by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So I've passed on information to you, Miles, as a teacher of the Word of God. Now, you can take that information and say, that's really good news, but I'm not 100% sure if that's true or not. Well, as you get into the Word of God and the real teacher, the Holy Spirit, starts teaching your mind, then you'll come to that point and you will learn that lesson, that indeed your sins have been forgiven once and for all by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then that's your truth. It's not only truth, but now that's truth that's been made real for you in your heart by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our real teacher. We need to trust him for wisdom to reveal to us the meaning of the Word of God. But we are a part of this broader organism called the body of Christ. And we're going to see the full extent of the gifts of the body when we assemble together And that's where we can really be ministered to by the body at large. But as far as going to a priest for absolution of sin, there's nowhere in the Word of God that states that you need to do that. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He stands forever. He has an indestructible life. And because of that, he saves us completely. So he's done all the work. He put aside the Levitical priesthood. He stands as our high priest. When he saves us, we were dead stones. We become living stones. We become a part of this royal priesthood that God uses in this world today to offer up life and forgiveness to those who are dead in sin.
Thank you very much. Amen to that.
Well, you're welcome, Miles. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Always good to hear from you, Miles. Thanks for your call, as Bob said.
Yes, indeed.
Friends, I want to remind you that we have open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis, with a reminder that Basic Gospel is indeed a listener-supported program. And as we approach the end of our fiscal year on June 30th, just 52 days away, we continue to work toward our financial goal of $280,000 to meet our budget. Yes, that's a lot of money, but when we consider the ability of God working through his people like you and me, well, that's not very much at all. So we ask you to be a part of what he is doing through Basic Gospel. Your partnership is not only vital, it is deeply, deeply appreciated. And when you make that call to 844-322-2742, or if you click that link at basicgospel.net to make your gift, we'll send you a very, very special message by Richard and Bob. It's called The Breakout, and it's our way of saying thank you for standing with us. Again, make your gift to Basic Gospel by calling 844-322-2742 or at our website, basicgospel.net. Well, guys, a question from Michael, who writes to us from Temple, Texas, says, in the book of Romans, Paul tells the Romans that a true Jew is one inwardly. Also, Romans 9, 6 through 8 says that they're not all Israel who are of Israel. Is Romans 11, 25 through 26 saying that the nation of Israel will all respond to the grace of God? Or is it referring to the Israel or Jew and Gentile?
Well, I don't know. That's one of those confusing passages. It simply says that all Israel will be saved. And it's part of a big discussion that Paul is having about the Jews. Well, if the Jews rejected Jesus, and that's what they did at large, yeah. There's a remnant that's being saved that has always been being saved through history. So the body is made up of Jew and Gentile, just like it was back in the days of the disciples. It's made up of the same group today, Jews and Gentiles standing side by side, all who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we get to be a part of the body of Christ, and that's who stand today as the people of God. So for as far as God's perspective is concerned, it's not whether someone's circumcised or whether someone's uncircumcised physically. It all has to do with the heart. Well, what about the heart that's important to God? Well, Paul nailed it right in the center of this discussion, Romans 9 through 11. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that's the critical belief. And all who believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord will be saved. That is going to constitute the people of God. And so will all Israel, if that is what Israel's identified with, people who believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, if that's what Israel, then all Israel will be saved. It's as simple as that. Now, will the nation of Israel, that group that came out of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will they have opportunity? Will this gospel message circle back to them? Well, right now, it's going out to the Gentile world. There's a remnant of Jews being saved. But will there come a time where that gospel will circle back and all of the nation of Israel have an opportunity to see Jesus for who he really is? And I think that's what Paul is arguing here.
Yes.
So we don't have to worry about Israel. God has them in his mind, has always had them in his mind, and we'll see that at a point in time. But the people of God that will be saved will all stand together in that heart belief that God raised Jesus from the dead, and in that lip confession that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate hearing from Michael and all of those of you who drop us a line or an email to pose your questions.
Well, thanks. We're going to go to Amanda, who's listening to us right here in the Dallas area, Fort Worth, Texas, on The Word. Hi, Amanda. You're on the line.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for your show. I heard you the other day, and I was really encouraged by some of the things that I heard on your show.
Well, we're so glad to hear that, Amanda. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Okay. I'm really having a very, very tough time right now. I just lost my job the beginning of the week. I have an eviction notice. I have to be out of my apartment on Friday. The job that I was trying to do, I'm not physically, I'm too old for it. I'm not physically capable of doing that anymore. So I'm having difficulty finding a job that's workable. And I don't know, I'm feeling a little, I'm feeling very,
anxious, hopeless, helpless.
Hopeless, yes, that maybe God is not, maybe, well, I don't know, you know, thinking, or maybe I'm not that person that is, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this, Amanda. Do you know Jesus? Have you come to that point in your life where you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I have before many years, but I feel very, I have really struggled for a number of years, and I've had problems on jobs, and I have, right now I am in counseling. I have been for 5 years.
Well, let me ask you this, Amanda. Let me ask you this, Amanda. Do you think some of the things that are happening to you, your loss of job, your the eviction notice, do you think in any way that that might be God punishing you for something that you've done in the past?
It feels like that, yes.
Okay. Well, Amanda, let me just say this. We're almost out of time. I'm going to put you on hold in just a minute, and we'll carry on this conversation.
Okay.
But let me just say this on the air to you. Jesus Christ stood in your place 2,000 years ago and took away your sins once and for all. And here's the good news. God remembers your sins no more. So the life that's happening to you right now isn't God throwing his arrows of punishment at you. God loves you, and he wants you to know that so much that you can say with confidence that you stand before him today as a forgiven person because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And once you stand on that solid rock, then you have a more objective viewpoint as far as the situations that you're going through right now. Well, Amanda, we're almost out of time on the broadcast. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to pick up with you, and we'll carry on this conversation, okay? You hang on.
Okay.
Friends, remember that we're now streaming live video each day of the Basic Gospel program to Facebook and YouTube, and we invite you to join us. You'll find the live stream daily at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, or on Facebook and YouTube, so we encourage you to take advantage of those. Well, that's it for this particular broadcast, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.